Hello guys, welcome back to the Good Vibes Club. And today I have on a very special guest who I know that you're going to absolutely love. You are going to be so inspired and have so much inspiration. I honestly can't wait to bring them all on. Today we have the gorgeous Mari Todd, who is a life coach inspiring women to change their lives and maximize their potential when they feel stuck or lost and in need of a little guidance. So Mari is DISC certified and speaks with professional knowledge, but also draws from her own personal experience to help women level up and live their best lives. And we decided today to team up on a little episode and talk through how to learn to like yourself, how to find joy in who you are, how to draw from past experiences, how to level up your life, and basically just a well-rounded chat about loving the person that you are, because you are the only person that you will always have in your life. And it's so important that you learn to love yourself and like yourself and just be really kind to the person that you are. So I can't wait to deep dive into this episode with you, and without further ado, we're going to get started.
Welcome to the Good Vibes Club, a normal girl's guide to living your best life and being the best version of yourself. Whether you're listening on your commute, out on a hot girl walk, or curled up on your sofa, open your mind and get ready to feel those good vibes. Hello guys, welcome back to another episode of the Good Vibes Club. Today I'm here with the gorgeous Mari, who is a life coach and the roadblock coach, which I feel like perfectly sums up what we're talking about and everything to do with this episode. So do you want to give yourself a bit of an introduction?
Surely do. So yes, the roadblock coach was a name I chose because that is my absolute jam. That's my speciality. I love helping women unblock their lives or their businesses and just start living limitless. Like, I think we're all so, there's so many pockets of our lives where we can be unhappy or disgruntled, or, you know, we think that's all we can, you know, that's our lot. And I certainly used to feel that way. You know, there was limits to the things that I thought were possible for me. And having gone on my own journey, it just became really clear to me that, you know what, I'm going to help some other women do this too. So,
because you're trained in biology, right? And then you kind of just completely went to a different path and thought, actually, this is way more what I want to do. And you had a bit of an experience that led you into it, right?
Yes. So basically, when I was at uni, I did a medical biology degree, then didn't use it at all and went off and worked in cosmetics, as I'm sure lots of people do. They study one
so
thing
classic.
And go, bye-bye, I'm not going to do that. And so I worked in leadership in the cosmetics industry for years and moved to London, worked my way up. And most recently, I was a commercial director for a skincare brand. But at the same time, as I was moving through these upper echelons, I wasn't happy. I wasn't fulfilled in my career. I was doing what I thought I should, because I think society tells us, you know, go get a good job, in inverted commas, whatever that is.
Good
go
job,
get a
reach
good
the
salary.
Top.
Yeah. Keep working, keep going. It's like, okay, I hate it, but cool. I'll keep moving. And don't get me wrong, I had loads of fun and there was loads of brilliant, you know, people I met and the stuff I did was great, but it wasn't the thing for me. And then I had a kind of personal life disaster throughout that process, and that's what really started my turning point. That's what moved me. You know, the universe has that brilliant way of shunting you onto the path that you should go on sometimes when the subtle hints don't work. So yeah, it was a pretty big shunt, and I listened.
The subtle hints don't work, and then it's like, you're not listening, so here's a giant like bam in your face to make sure that you start paying attention.
Absolutely, and it certainly was.
So almost like a kind of giant, I guess, roadblock to you, really, because you had like this whole career planned out and like everything was going, I guess, outwardly well, but then inwardly you weren't happy with it. But like outwardly everyone's like, oh, she's so successful, she's got this, and then you kind of are just like, no, and the universe kind of tears it all down and you're sat thinking like, oh shit, what next? And then I guess it just kind of led you into like learning about you, right? And then you ended up in this, which is amazing, and now you do a lot of life coaching.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think coaching or the wellness space wasn't even, I knew nothing about it. You know, I wasn't, I hadn't gone to therapy. I'd never had a coach. I didn't even know what coaching was. It never felt like that was for me. You know, and I got married quite young, and then I had a fairy tale kind of wedding in a castle, and I was ticking all the outward boxes, internally feeling really quite miserable, but thinking I was doing what I should because I was ticking the outward boxes.
Yeah, and then like the society boxes.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and you know, one of the things I often talk to clients about as an initial starting point is, what is your version of success? And no one knows. No one knows. Because
it's so true. I actually just did a have you read The Comparison Cure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lucy's a good friend of
so
mine.
So I'm doing that at the moment. And yeah. Is it? Oh my God, I love her. I think it's a great book.
She's incredible.
Been like going through it and trying to like do all the motions. And I literally just last night did the bit that was like, what does success mean to you? And I was sat there and I was like, what is my success and what is what I'm told is success? Like, is it the money? Is it like being top of your game? Is it followers? Is it like, obviously, because our jobs are a little bit different. They're not like you can be the CEO of Google. Mm-hmm. But I was like, actually, this is really interesting because what is our version of success? Like, I actually don't think I know anyone who would know, like, definitively that is their idea.
Yeah. And the place to start with that usually is think of the last thing that made you super proud. You know, so like imagine what that is. Like, when did you feel, and not because you thought you should be proud. So sometimes people will say, oh, when I got, you know, got my degree, or, you know, I achieved this thing at work. And it's like, did you feel that inside? And if you did, amazing, great. But if not, then think of the thing that you went, ah, and it can be tiny. It doesn't matter what it is. It's more about looking at that thing and going, ah, this is why this makes me feel proud. And that's a hint at what success might mean for you. Like, the three things that society tells us are success are job title, right? So something lofty that like feeds back a sense to the snobby society that we live in, that you are a worthwhile human being, right? money. Yeah. And, you know, like when you reach that level, you need to get more. And then once you've done that, it'll be more again. Like, often this is the capitalist trap. Right, is that they keep you, like, if that's your version of success, then when is enough enough?
Like, it's never enough, is it? It's always constant, exactly. Like, there's always like another like jump up in things. I find the whole thing fascinating.
Title, money, and then recognition. Those are the three things that we are taught are what success feels like. But like me, I think there's a whole host of people out there that get all three of those things and feel absolutely disillusioned and miserable often. And then you're left going, well, what, like, what now? And success to me, actually, once I did so much work to figure it out, was time freedom.
Yeah.
It was doing what I want, when I want, on my terms. I would never have had any idea about that, right? But yeah, I think that's one of the most important places to start, is just like what actually would feel, because success you can feel every day. You don't need to just like, it's not like you achieve something and that you feel it for 5 minutes and then it goes away. Success is a daily experience if you've defined it on your terms.
No, it's so true.
Did your head explode? I think
but it's like you're like, what you could perceive is, like you said, is you could think, okay, well, success to me is like making X amount of money per year, or making sure that if I have X amount of followers, or I am like the top of my game, I'm getting bonuses or whatever. Like, it is always job, isn't it? Like, it's always job. But then actually it could be something as simple as like waking up every morning and feeling happy, and like having time with your family, or like making sure, like you said, with the time management, and like, not time management, sorry.
Time freedom.
Yeah, that's the one.
I got you, babe. I got you.
But making sure that you have like the freedom to do, like, it's like the freedom to do what you want, or like traveling, or there's so many different versions of success.
100%. And everyone's is different from everyone else. Even if it's the same topic, that will mean something different to that individual. So when you think of things like, I don't know, the number of followers, it's I would always put for what on the end of that. So I want this amount of followers for what? You know, like, it needs to have a, like, the same with money. Some people, it is money, but it's specific. It's like, I need X amount of money, I don't know, 60 grand a year, because if I have that, then I can, you know, pay my mortgage, I can look after my family, I can go on these two holidays, and that's what I want, that's all I want. that feels brilliant to me. Cool. So actually, success for you is this time with your family on holiday and yeah. feeling safe financially. So that's not money, it's safety and recreation time. Do you know what I mean? So it's like dig past the initial, and sometimes when you do the digging, you discover there's nothing in it. So sometimes it's like, okay, follower count, for example, for what? I don't know. Okay, well, maybe that's not your measure then, you know? So you can, you need to dig in, and then you'll get a sense for yourself, like, oh yeah, that feels important to me or not.
I feel like I'm just listening to you and I'm like, yeah. Like I'm listening to you like you're a podcast and I'm just listening and I'm like, oh yeah, I actually need to speak.
You have to join in on this, okay? You're the host.
So today's episode, we kind of thought we would talk about how to like yourself, which I have noticed with like friends and people online is quite a recurring theme. And I guess for you with clients and stuff is also like a really recurring thing. It's like a lot of women, I'd say specifically, but I guess men kind of too, we just don't seem to like ourselves and we don't seem to have that like love for who we are, because like we were just talking about, there's always something better or there's always the next thing, or like it's not enough. And we wanted to kind of debunk and talk about all of the different ways to learn to like yourself and just really get into that, I guess.
Absolutely. I think it's a huge topic. I don't know that we sit down one day and go, do I like myself? I'm not sure it's a question that we ask, but I think we can recognize if we are negative about ourselves. I think people will understand what it's like to look in the mirror and not think favorable things, or to do something wrong, make a mistake, and to speak negatively to yourself. You know, often we are our biggest bully.
100%.
And this is about framing it differently rather than saying, because I think a lot of the kind of information out there is how to stop negative talk, how to stop, you know, being mean to yourself, etc. But what if we just reframed that? What if we switched it on its head and said, how do I start liking myself? Like, how do I become a friend to myself? And I think that's a more positive way.
I feel like I had this. So I used to be very, very negative about myself. And I used to be very like, I didn't like who I was. I didn't love myself. I didn't like my body or my, like all these different things. And then I sat down not too long ago and was like, actually, it's really weird because now I'm looking in the mirror and I don't do this and I don't do that. And then I kind of just worked backwards and was like, wow, actually, I've come quite a long way from like a year ago, 2 years ago, where I'd sit and be like, ugh, like this is bad and that's bad and that's bad. And then you're like, oh, actually, like it's a sudden realization of like, oh, things have clicked.
I mean, I remember, similarly, I was incredibly negative about myself. It's that whole classic, you know, you look back at photos from like 2 years ago and you go, oh, I looked so hot then. Like, why do I look like this now? And then guess what?
Aging's a fine thing.
But that continues for your whole life, okay?
Yeah.
and it will forever continue unless, like, nothing changes if nothing changes.
It's one of my favorite quotes ever.
So something has to change. Yeah. So, you know, and I think for me, I mean, my marriage completely broke down in the most cataclysmic fashion, and that was my turning point. But at the time, it was one of the lowest, I mean, a hideous, heartbreaking experience. And I probably liked myself least then, but it was that, like, that's the point where I took my metaphorical first breath, if you like. Like, it's the point where I actually came home to myself. And that's where my journey to liking myself started. I can see now, but life is to be understood backwards.
Yeah, always.
So it's okay if you're in the thick of it and you feel like this woman's talking a load of crap. Like, you know, no. I remember sitting in a bar in London with a friend, knocking back my second bottle of wine, like crying and saying to him, you know those people that say, oh, this was a turning point for me, I'm never gonna be one of them, like that, this is just a disaster. And he was like, yeah, you're not, like you're done, like this is a bad place for you. And actually here I am, one of those people saying, oh, that was a turning point for me. But I do think that for something good to begin, something else has to end. Like, you know, it's just how life works, right? Beginnings follow endings. So Yeah, I think starting with liking yourself, that mentality, it's a brilliant place for anyone.
So what would you say? So if there's someone listening who maybe feels the way that you felt sat in that pub, having that second bottle of wine and crying about all these things, what would you say to them if they, like, what would be your best piece of advice? Is like, if they're sat there thinking, I really need to make a change now, like I need just the first little step forward to starting like the journey, like what would you say is a really good, like, very small, easy on that first step when everything seems so daunting and scary and like the idea of loving yourself is so far-fetched?
I think one of the first things that can really help is finding out that you're not alone. You know, I don't know that we have this conversation, like I don't remember having a chat with my friend, like, you know, sometimes you might say like, oh, I feel rubbish, or I don't look good, or, you know, oh, I felt like a failure when this happened at work. But you don't have the broad conversation of, I don't actually think I'm a very good friend to myself. Like, I don't think I look after myself well. I certainly don't speak positively to myself. Like, do you do that too? Like, knowing you're not alone is hugely powerful. And in my opinion, women are literal magic. And when we start talking to each other and bonding and connecting, so much, like, all the good stuff happens. So I think talk to a friend, find someone you love and you trust, and just have that conversation of like, hey, I, you know, hey, I heard this podcast with these two mental women talking and they were talking about this subject, like, do you like yourself? Because I don't think I do, you know. And just starting the dialogue, start the conversation. And that might sound really small, but you know what, when you come to have that, it's a vulnerable place to start. But it can be really, just knowing you're not alone with it can be so powerful.
And I guess it's quite nice as well if you do have that conversation. Like, I've had the conversation with a few of my friends, but I think we're obviously in a different space where we talk about this kind of thing all the time. So I've had the conversation with a couple of my friends and then they kind of sit and go, God, yeah, me too. Like, I do that as well. Or they're like, oh, yeah, like, I always look in the mirror and pick this apart. Or, oh, whenever I do that, like, there's always like it starts the conversation. You're like, oh. Yeah. Like, we actually all do all these mental things that we didn't realize other people do. You know, like when you see on TikTok really random things that people are like, oh, have you ever done this? And you're like, oh, yeah, actually I did. And I didn't know anyone else did that too.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the same with like any part of our lives. Like, parenting is a really interesting area where you start like secretly going to other mothers, like, do you feel this? And, you know, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, me. And it's so liberating. It's such a relief to know that you're not alone with those feelings. It's like, oh, okay. And I think with social media, although it's incredible in so many ways, it's also false.
Yeah.
Like, so much of it is utter bullshit. Like, it just is. And so we're looking, you know, the comparison cure, right? We're looking at these people thinking, oh, they had their lives together and they're so happy. And would you know what? I was that person that you would have looked at and thought I had my life together. And at a time when I couldn't have had it less together. So, you know,
it's like we all just show up on the highlights, don't we? And we're like, 100%. Oh, everything's falling apart. But here's a picture of my cup of coffee. Or like, here's a dog I saw in the park that's really cute. Or like, I think everyone can relate to, like, you know, where, like, I've had it before where I've gone through breakups and stuff and I've obviously just not put anything online about the fact that I'm going through it. Or, you know, something in your life is happening. You show up online and you're posting like these happy, smiley pictures, or you're posting that you're out with your friends, and online you make it look so good. But then you could have just been sat crying in the car for 3 hours, quickly touched up your makeup or chucked some sunglasses on to get a picture. And then you're acting as if everything's fine. But then we all do it. But then we all look at people doing it and we think, God, why is everyone so happy and I'm not? But that person's doing exactly the same as us and covering it up.
And I think that was one of the positive things for me about starting my own business and, you know, promoting it through social media channels is, you know, another one of my success measures is authenticity and just getting to be who I am. Like, obviously, I'm not going to show up crying every day, but equally, I will share my truth. So I share like the negative stuff that happens. I talk about the tough things. Like, all my newsletters are about usually problems and relating that to how I faced it also, because we need more of that. We need more of the honesty. Like, that is the cure to, you know, always feeling inadequate. Yes, we need to stop comparing ourselves, but we also need to all start being honest. Like, the facade doesn't help, you know. But again, it's another product of that kind of you know, like the workplace, even like when you show up at work, it's like, leave your problems at the door. Like, why? Because I'm a robot? Like, what? I can't.
You must sit at your desk and smile.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a definite, like, there's an epidemic of that where we are faking it. And that makes people really unhappy. So trying to just peel back a little of the facade, even if that's talking behind closed doors to friends or being as genuine as you can. You know, when my mum passed away, I remember thinking, how am I going to navigate this online, you know, still promoting my business, still talking about things. And I used stories as the way to share the sad, sticky bits, whereas the posts were still the educational content, etc. And that's how I kept my, you know, obviously I wasn't sharing really, really vulnerable things. I think you should talk from the scars, not the wounds necessarily. But yeah. I got to be honest, and that's what felt right. So I think we all feel better when we're being more authentic with whoever it is that we're sharing ourselves with.
And it's quite nice as well, I think, when you have someone who, like, I would perceive, because you obviously do your life coaching and you are a very, very positive, smiley, happy, outward person. I think it's quite nice when you see the people that you perceive to be like really positive and happy having the down days, because then you're like, oh, so being positive all the time is actually something that's like near impossible. Like, people do still have 100% down days. And even by sharing, like, I guess sharing things like the loss of a parent, you then get people who reach out who have maybe been through it, who can offer you some advice or some comfort. Mm-hmm. And people who are maybe going through it at the same time then can seek advice and comfort from what you're sharing too, if that makes
Definitely.
Sense.
Yeah. And like, things stick in my mind. I just got goosebumps there because I was just remembering. I remember saying very, very shortly after she passed, like, one of the things I was sharing was how I was noticing so much more beauty in just the world, like hearing the birds singing or like seeing the flowers, like things just looked more vibrant. And I just constantly, you know, I felt this pain of like, I wish she could see this. I can't believe she won't see this ever again. And I had said, I'm going to get upset now. I had said,
oh, bless you,
that, like, about the birds, and someone said, she is the birds, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like, she's singing.
She's everywhere. It's such a beautiful way to look at it, I think, but it's something that we only really appreciate when we're in a bad frame of mind sometimes. Do you know what I mean? Like, you appreciate it more when someone's passed or when you're in a really low space, and then you go outside and you think, God, actually the world is beautiful. But then it's like the saddening part as well as that.
Yeah. But the, you know, it was the connection, like, this perfect stranger had heard me share this painful thing, and with such warmth and kindness had come back with that comment that meant the world to me. And just, and it sits with me today, you know. So that's the power. Yeah. This is what I mean, like, women are literally magic. They just are. And when we connect like that, it's just, it's so beautiful. So sharing, connecting, being vulnerable, like, it's a door to like, that for me is my door to happiness. There's nothing I like better than just sharing it all with someone that I love. It's the best.
Isn't it funny how that person left you that comment to give you like a little moment of comfort, and actually to them what was like a little comment is actually something that stuck with you for such a long time.
Absolutely.
And like is a little piece of like comfort all the time. Mm-hmm. Even though to
all
them
the
it
time.
Was like a little comment to make you feel better.
Yeah, I know. And she like, this person is an earth angel. Like, I know her now, and she's incredible. But yeah, I think that's the power we have. Like, you will say something to a stranger and you won't know the powerful impact that that has had. You know, like, I always say to my clients, like, your name is being spoken in rooms that you don't even know about. There are people saying,
this is one of the first things you said to me.
Yes, I did. Do you remember?
So I had a group chat to do the magic, you know, like the Rhonda Byrne magic. And I had mentioned in this group chat, okay, guys, is there anyone that you'd like to come on the podcast? Like, is there anyone that you want to hear from? And your name came up from a few people. And I literally had you on a list on my like notes on my phone. And
You're
I was like, I need to reach out
maybe.
To her. Genuinely, the weirdest thing, because I kid you not, like 2 days after I'd put you on this list and was like, okay, I'm going to make a note to contact her, you emailed me. And I was like, this is so bizarre, because I'd followed you and I'd like been watching you and like had a note to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then you messaged me and I was like, this is just the weirdest thing.
But it just shows you, right? And that was such an example for me of my name being spoken in rooms that I don't know about. But we all have that. We don't realise that. We don't realise the power and the impact that we're all having just by being ourselves and spreading our authenticity out in the world. But it's lovely when it comes around. It's lovely when you hear about that circuit. You're like, oh, yay. So yeah, that was a nice little example.
It's sweet as well, because like you said, you love like feeling successful with your like authenticity, and the fact that you had made an impact on these people so much that they want to hear from you. And it's like actually quite a nice little full circle, isn't it, to be like, oh, like what I'm doing is making an impact, and it's just really sweet. And now I follow you too, and I think you're great.
Oh, thanks, babe. I think you're great too. Mutual appreciation. But you know, as you were saying about like looking at people and thinking that they have it all together or whatever, I also, so recently I was chatting to an old client, because all my clients are different, right? And everyone is different. So some people are really demonstrable and will be like, oh my gosh, you changed my life, thank you so much. Like, you know, they'll tell you very openly. And other people won't necessarily. And I had a chat back and forward on the DMs with an old client. We were talking about something completely different. I was celebrating this other person that I know, that I'm saying like, oh my God, she's amazing, etc. And she was like, oh yeah, and you know, you are too, because you changed my life. And I was like, did I? even though you, like, no matter who you are, we are all still doubting ourselves or not giving ourselves, you know, the props that we should. That is human nature. And there's a nice part of that, like the humility. But it's when it goes too far. It's when we are not recognizing our gifts. It's when we actually don't even know what value we have as an individual, when we question our worth. Like, that's when we're in the not liking ourselves camp, right? But just know that that is like a spectrum. And no one's at the, oh, tick, I've like smashed this and I'm completely like, no one gets, there is no there. You know,
it's a journey, not a destination.
A journey that unfolds. Yeah, 100%.
So you've mentioned gifts and like your individual gifts, right? So this is one of the things we really wanted to talk about. So how, if someone's listening and they're like, I don't know what my gift is, like if they're really in that, like, I don't like myself and I don't know where to go from here and I don't know what my gifts are, how would you like discover what your gifts are? How would you go about like finding, because I feel like people know what they're good at, but they just haven't, it's not in the forefront, if that makes sense. Like, you could be really creative and really good at like coming up with amazing ideas, or, you know, bringing people together or something, but because you're in that, you don't realize that that's like a skill and a gift that you have. It's like connecting people, or, you know, I can't think of another example, but you know what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. I'm there with you, babe. Okay, so there are so many ways you can do this, but one of the ways that I did it when I was in that really like yucky space was a free, there's like tons of like online, you know, character strengths or personality profiling tools, etc. So I did this one, and it was called the VIA Institute. I am not sponsored by them. I have no affiliation, just putting that out there. but this is the one I did, and I paid for the full report. And it's a character a character traits profile. So it just tells you like what your top five character strengths are. So things like humor, love, spirituality, leadership, teamwork, whatever. It'll be stuff like that. But I paid for the full report so I could learn more about it. And humor was the first one, and I was like, what, really? Like, you know, because this is the problem. Your innate gifts, you will take for granted.
Yeah,
they won't feel like gifts because you don't have to work at them. And we think, again, not to harp on about the capitalist patriarchal society, but we think that we have to work hard in order for it to be worth something.
Yeah,
which is actually utter BS. It's like, if it comes naturally to you, you can flex that more. And you'll be happier, but also other people will have more enjoyment around you. And like, humor was such a, it just set off a little light bulb. I was like, huh, like, how can I use that more in my day-to-day life to just help me for the situation that I'm in? Like, what does that look like for me? You know, is it that there's a particular friend that I always have like proper belly laughs with. Maybe I need to connect more with them at this point, like just to get that out. Or is there a way I can bring this into like really boring things that I'm doing at work? How can I inject that part of myself into it so I feel like this is more engaging and authentic? And, you know, so by doing something as simple as that and just having this a report tell you, here's the things that you have, it was such a light bulb. So I would definitely suggest something like that. It doesn't have to be that particular one, but something like that just as a starter for 10 is so good.
Do you know what? You've actually just sparked a memory. So I went to Bali recently. My friend hosts retreats, so she does she's an online coach, but she does like a lot of mindful stuff and like very like retreats and just making you feel like the best you. So we went on this retreat and on the first night we did a little game, and it was like one of the girls was like, we do this as a team building thing, like we do it at work and it's really interesting. And she was like, what's your superpower? And I was literally sat there and I was like, oh my God, don't come to me because I have no idea what to say. I was like, I literally don't know. Like, I'm funny. Like, is that it? So we're going around and obviously I'm with like a couple of my really, really good friends, as well as like all these people who don't know me. And obviously none of us at that point, because it's the first night, we didn't really know each other. And when it got to me, I was like, I still just sat there and I was like, I don't know. And two of my friends turned around and they were like, it's your loyalty. Like, you're a really loyal friend, and like, you're really, like, you're just a very loyal person. Like, you will ride or die for the people that you care about. And I just thought, do you know what? I've never actually thought that about myself. Like, I've never thought that that was like a skill. And it's really interesting when you speak to people around you who will be like you've probably got friends who would be like, you are so funny, like your humor is great, like they would have said that about you without you needing to
only,
do the test.
I only make friends with people that say that. If they don't, I'm
if like, you don't find me funny, we can't be friends.
You did not pass the test.
But it's funny, isn't it, because like your friends probably would have said that about you, but you wouldn't have known that necessarily to be like, that's a really good skill of mine.
I would never, because I would have undervalued that. I would have thought like, oh, that's not a skill, like that's not anything useful, which is nonsense. Of course it is. But the same as love, the same as teamwork, the same as spirituality, like you will undervalue all these things because they are innately easy to you, like creativity, whatever it is. But that brings me on to another great one. So I did this recently with my course, my Thrivers. I had them on, we were on a workshop, and I had them message their best friend, what are my best personality traits. I made them all do it in that moment, so they all sent it off, and I got them to say like, oh hey, I'm on a course, like I need to ask this question. So it wasn't just like whoa, weirdo. And I had done it too to my best friend, and loyalty came up in mine, and I was like, really? So you're still, this is what I mean, you're always learning. But it was such a lovely exercise. Like, people messaged what their friends had said after in our WhatsApp group, and just reading these things that these gorgeous friends had said about them. But also a lovely thing to do is then do it back to them.
Yeah.
And the reason that's helpful is because you then start thinking about them really properly, and you're like, you know, what is it about them? And there's no lip service. You're not, you know, you'll know you're not lying. You know, you're being really genuine and you actually think that about them. And so that makes you believe what they've said even more.
And it also, I guess, makes them feel good, because like, they didn't know that you were going to say anything. Like, they just out of the blue got this message and then you're telling them something really lovely about themselves.
Exactly, exactly. It's such a nice exercise to do. I love it. I'm going to do it with all my friends now. Like, hello.
I'm actually really, I'm like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. When we get off this call, I'm going to ask them and be like, so, do you love me? What do you love about me?
But specifically say, what are my best character traits? So use those terms, because traits are about your innate gifts, right? You're like who you are, just like as an individual, who you were born to be, as opposed to, well, you've achieved this, or you've achieved, you know, it's not about achievements, it's about who you are. And that's what's important about liking yourself, is you already have it. Like, it's about you as a person. Like, the moment you were born, you were of infinite value. And how do we understand like who this wonderful person is in more detail now?
And I guess as well, so obviously thinking on that too, like you said with the humor thing, or like the loyalty thing, there might not always, I think this is like, you know, it is not always the case, but there's sometimes reasons that we feel that way is because someone's maybe told us at one point in time that we weren't funny, or, oh, you know, you're not mm-hmm. that supportive, or you're not that loyal, or you're not that creative. Like yes. people kind of break you down yes. or like society wise, you look mm-hmm. at other people and think, well, she's really funny. I'm not that funny. So maybe humor isn't a strong point. And it's kind mm-hmm. of like you get broken down, don't you, through like past experiences or, 100%. You know, life things that happen to you. Or like we've kind of definitely. Talked about with like the root causes of why you don't feel like you like yourself. And is it because of maybe mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you don't realize these things because someone's made you feel like you're not worthy of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think, you know, understanding your past and what you've experienced and why you feel like you feel is such a, it's like, you know, putting the key into the lock. It's like, oh, okay, this makes more sense now. And you know, like I have clients who are, you'd look at them and think, oh, they're wildly successful. Like, you know, we've got vets, we've got doctors at the top of their, you know, like consultants at the top of their game, etc., etc. And so many times we have conversations about, you know, maybe childhood memories that come up from time to time, or a painful experience they've maybe had. And I remember one of my clients who's a vet now and is super duper, you know, intelligent. When she was at school, someone called her stupid, like a teacher said she was too stupid for whatever reason, like they were a supply teacher, they were having a bad day, all that blah 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 context. But they passed on that message to her and it's never left her. And she spent her whole life thinking she's stupid, despite the fact that she has all these all the proof, all the evidence in front of her as to why that's not the case. And yet still it stays with her. So there are limiting beliefs that we all hold on to, not by choice. It's just the subconscious programming. It's how our brain works. We hold on to these formative experiences and they can impact how we live our lives. You know, the choices that we will or will not allow ourselves to make. So yeah, our past has a lot to play with why we might not at this point like ourselves.
And I guess sometimes it's like things that you maybe wouldn't even think about as being a reason too. So it might be that you think it's one thing, and then actually if you do some deep digging through a life coach or a therapist or like just working on yourself, that you realize actually I think that because of that and not because of what I thought. I actually had it recently. I can't remember what it was. It was great example, but it was something in therapy.
Good. Yeah, please tell me more.
It was something in therapy that I was talking about, and I was kind of just chatting away about whatever. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head now. If I remember, I'll say in a minute. But we were chatting away about something, and she just turned around to me and was like, well, have you ever considered it might be that? And I was like, actually, no. Like, I'd never put two and two together. I think it was about comparison, actually. It was something to do with comparison, like when I was younger. And in my head, I'd never, ever put two and two together that the reason I feel certain ways about certain things is because of certain experiences as a child or like as a teenager that I would never ever have thought was like, oh, that's, oh, light bulb, that makes so much sense. And now when I feel certain ways about things, I'm like, well, I know that I think this way and I compare for this reason because that's what happened when I was younger. And then you can kind of work through it. So now we're kind of doing, like you said, with the backwards, because nothing ever works forwards. So we're doing the backwards work to be like, okay, well, how do we like dig out this little block, get it back out there and just stop being so bothered by that bit, because then it will change this bit. And then it's like the little chain reaction of all the other things that start to tick off and absolutely. Become a way to like yourself.
Yeah. And you know, I think some people are like, sometimes we're reluctant to express difficulties in our past. Sometimes we find it like it will be disloyal to our parents, or that it's not fair because there's so much other pain in the world that is so much worse than what we perceive we've experienced. So you need to know that pain is yours. You know, it's not relative, right? Pain is about what you experience in your life, and if it hurt you, then it is painful. And it's okay. Like, I always talk about two truths. So it is possible to like and loathe someone at the same time. Like, that's absolutely possible. So you can, let's take parents, for example, you can adore your parents and just be so grateful to them and think they are incredible, and that be one of the most important relationships in your whole life. And you can honor yourself by expressing a time when they hurt you or let you down. Like, both those things can happen at once. and it's not disloyal to be honest with yourself. So sometimes that's the key you need, is just to give yourself permission to look at the things without feeling like it's unfair on anyone else, right? It's not about choosing, like, I'm going to be angry now. It's not about that. It's about, actually, that was a time that was painful for me. Let me look at that. Let me understand that a bit more and figure out how it's impacting me now.
Like a, for example, like a parent's divorce or something, I guess. So like, you can 100%. Love your parents unconditionally, but their divorce made you certain ways, like it did certain things that maybe weren't fair or painful, or that you need to now work through in therapy or something, but you can still love them.
But it's like, yeah, of course, but it's like, you know, it's the things that, it's often the things that we don't even recognize. This is why my job exists, right? Because it's not necessarily the big ticket stuff. It's like, you know, I don't know, say a parent that was so loving and so supportive towards you, but you'd cry and they'd say, oh, sweetheart, don't cry. Don't cry. There's no need to cry. Well, you're telling a child not to experience their emotions. It's incredibly confusing. And the kid then goes, oh, I must be wrong. You're not supposed to cry in this situation, so my feelings are wrong. So they develop shame. They develop repressed emotions. Do you know what I mean? And that's with a brilliant parent who just happened to be passing on how they were also parented. So it's not that, it's not about right or wrong, or you know, passing blame. It's just about, we experience what we experience and it impacts us how it impacts us. And all you do is try and understand yourself more. So something that you can do is just sit down and think, what's an incredibly painful memory from my past? Not even childhood, just from my past. And just allow yourself to write it down in all its detail. You know, well, this happened first and then that, and I felt, and et cetera. And it's like a, you know, an exercise in free journaling, just allowing the words to like flow. Or if you don't enjoy writing, record it as a voice memo.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually.
So that's something that I do. And I don't have the headspace to be like, oh God. And it takes so much longer to write stuff down, doesn't it?
Oh my God, so long.
Just chat.
The wrist cramps you get now. I don't know how we wrote as much as children, because, exactly. Oh my God.
I know. It's like coming back from summer when you were at school, you'd be like, oh, my hand. So yeah, a voice memo, and just record it to yourself. And the good thing about voice memos as well is you can play them back. And then you can listen again in this kind of third party space, being like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. Oh, I didn't realize that. So just allowing yourself to look at a time that hurt you in itself is hugely freeing.
Yeah.
You know, because then it's not in your head. It's not the same narrative and stories playing over and over. There's a bit of perspective offered just by looking at it in a different way.
And I guess just getting it like out. You know how there's a big emphasis on just like, if you've got something in your brain, just getting it out helps. Even if it's like writing it or 100%. Saying it or talking about it to someone else, like it just helps so much to just get it out of your head. In like, I feel like every situation,
Definitely. But
especially when it's dealing with like past traumas and stuff.
Yeah. And a lovely exercise that I like to do with my clients is an inner child one, where I have them do something like that. Like they write down a painful memory from their past, from their childhood. And then I have them close their eyes and picture themselves at that age. So what did they look like? What clothes are they wearing? What's their childhood bedroom like? And then they, as the adult version now, picture themselves opening the door to the childhood bedroom, walking over, sitting down next to that kid, putting their arm around her, and then telling her everything she needed to hear. And then I have them record that, write that down, and read it out to me. And without fail, there are tears.
I can only imagine.
And without fail, I know, and without fail, they not only needed to hear that then, but as the adult version, it's the exact words they still need to hear now, because we all have that inner child within us still, right? So we're carrying those wounds whether we choose to look at them or not. So by doing these little exercises, it just starts to connect the two, as well as offer a bit of like, huh, okay, I'm looking after us now, you know, I've got this.
So online, I'm sure a lot of people have seen this as well, there's a big trend of kind of fake it till you feel it, fake it till you believe it, with self-love and liking yourself. So what would you, do you agree with it? Like, what do you think of that kind of mentality towards self-love and liking yourself?
I mean, with all these sorts of things, I think if it works for you, go ahead and do it, right? There's nothing wrong as long as it works and it's feeling good. I think this is very different from the fake it till you make it type thing, right? Because that is all about, you know, feigning confidence and making other people believe what actually is not going on with you. So that's more, that's perpetuating the facade. And I think that often puts us into a like fear zone, like we're pushing out of our comfort zone so far, we get into fear. You can't learn when you're in the fear zone. So I'm not a fan of that at all. This is about compassion. It's about trying to access the part of you that does value yourself, that, you know, does look in the mirror and think positive things. And it's like, it's habit, isn't it? You're, what you're trying to do with these sorts of tasks is override a negative habit with a positive habit. So it's like, I don't know, getting up 30 minutes early. Like the first time your alarm goes off,
horrible,
you're going to be like, you're like, it's not happening, babes. Like, I'm going to pop snooze down here. You know, it'll be the hardest thing you've done. And yet once you do it, you'll be like, yes, you know, you'll feel great about it. So these, like, sticking a post-it. I mean, I did this with a client once. I remember she used to get up and look in the mirror, like the way it was positioned, it was right beside her bed. And she would always look at her stomach every single morning and say, like, think something negative. And so we put a couple of post-its on the mirror in the exact spot where her stomach was.
Cover
and
it.
She would write something on it. Yeah, cover it, but write, you don't need to look at this today. Or your worth isn't defined by your stomach. Or, like, you know, bloated but beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, just whatever she felt was, like, you know, a stretch, but still genuine enough. So I think the problem with, like, positive affirmations is when you're saying something that is so far removed from what you believe that it feels like bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you feel, I mean, you know, I don't know, like, you're not good enough, right? That's a really common one I hear from clients, is I feel like I'm not good enough. So if you simply have a post-it note or you start saying to yourself in the mirror, I am good enough, you're going to feel like a fraud and it's not going to help, right? So I'm a big fan of what I call progress statements. So rather than, I am good enough, I'm amazing, I'm brilliant, what's just a little bit of progress from I'm not good enough?
So rather than, like, so the in big my overarching, like, I am enough, it's like the little stepping stones that get you to that big statement.
Yes. Exactly. So it might be, I'm learning to appreciate my strength. Like, so it's so small, it's achievable, it's a journey statement. Yeah. So it's like, I'm learning. So there's no definitive, like, I am. It's like, I'm learning to appreciate my strengths. That probably feels more possible and achievable to believe, right? So therefore, that would be super helpful to just repeat, see it on the board constantly, like, have a little, you can have that as a voice memo that you play to yourself once a day.
Yeah.
You know, so it's I do think that they can be super valuable, but it needs to feel, you need to connect with it. So it needs to feel close enough that you're like, yeah, that's possible for me.
And obviously they change over time, right? So, like, you could put, 100%. I am learning to appreciate myself, which I think is good because it's kind of, even on that first day when you're writing it down, you're like, okay, I am actually learning. I'm at the very, very beginning of learning, but, like, I'm learning. Like, I'm on the journey. It's like, I always think of it with, like, even little things, like, for example, like, when you learn to ride a bike, everyone has to start somewhere. Like, you're always a beginner at something. So, like, everything takes time and everything takes a little bit of something. You're not just going to instantly overnight click your fingers and be like, I love myself now.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, one of the biggest things we have to learn is that discomfort is part of the deal. Like, with change. So people think that when you're moving towards something more positive, like, okay, I'm going to go from not liking myself to liking myself, or I'm going to go from a job I don't like to this job that I do like, they think that that's going to be moving towards positive, which eventually it will. But initially, you've got to deal with all that discomfort of change, of facing into the reasons why you were in this place in the first place. You know, that there is a whole level of, this isn't going to feel easy. And once you accept, even like getting up 30 minutes early is hugely uncomfortable, right? But it's hard choices, easy life.
Yeah.
Easy choices, hard life. Just know when you're making those difficult choices, you're actually setting yourself up for the ease. It's just that this is the kind of uphill before you freewheel down the other side.
And it's like we were saying at the beginning, where you suddenly have that realization, you're like, oh, actually, like, this is different.
Yes.
Like, you don't necessarily notice it bang on, but then there'll be something that triggers in your mind and you're like, oh wow, like, I've looked in the mirror today and I didn't think about my stomach, or I did whatever it was, and you're like, oh, actually, that's not how I used to look at this situation. And it feels so much better.
Absolutely. 100%, 100%. There's nothing better. And it's, sometimes it's a year down the line. Like, sometimes that's a whole process before you get there. But I remember being on a bike in a cycle class in London, like pedaling my arse off as usual. And I was always at the front because I was one of the geeks and I loved it. And I remember really, really struggling, like really finding this tricky, feeling like I was going to vomit, like not good. And rather than being horrible to myself and being like, you're an embarrassment, you're this, you're that, I was like, come on, Maddie, I love you, you've got this. And it's the first time I ever said mentally to myself, I love you. And I just sat there on the bike crying my eyes out because I was like, I love myself, you know. And that wasn't consistent. It's not like I felt like that way forever, but it was such a pivotal moment. And that was one of those, wow, look how far I've come moments.
The instructor's so probably like, for oh, you. She's crying because it's too hard. What have I done to her?
They loved all that stuff. They'd be like, yeah, like, people crying. They're like, let it out.
If I said to you, what's one really big piece of information that you want people to take away from this episode, what would you say it is? Like, what's one really big thing that you would just love to people to leave this on? Even if we've given them all this information and you've been so amazing, like, what's one really like good little bite of information that they can just leave this on and go away and think about for the rest of the day?
You know what? Just know that you've got everything you need. Like, you literally have everything you need. These are tips to get that out of you. These are techniques to help you see that. But the magic that you are searching for, the wonder, the, you know, all the good stuff that you think you need literally exists within you right in this moment and was already here before you started listening to this episode. Just know how incredible you are, and that even if you don't feel it right now, that's okay. But there are people who do, and text your best friend and see what they think of you. And that's the truth. Like, that is the truth there.
I actually love that exercise. I think that's the best thing. I'm going to go away and do this to my friends. More so because I think it's really sweet to like, I will. I'll send you what they say. But I think it's quite sweet on the back end of it as well, where it's like you're asking them, but then I'm telling them without them asking me. So then also they're just going about their day, get this text and saying, oh, bloody hell, what does Jess want now? And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, she's told me something really nice about myself. And now I feel really good about the rest of my day. But initially probably thinking, what's she doing? What's she up to? She's doing some kind of self-work again.
Plot again.
I think they're used to it by now, to be honest.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the episode. It's been so great to chat to you.
You're so welcome. You too, sweetheart.
But have you got any courses coming up that people can join aside the one-to-one stuff?
Yeah, I'll do a workshop at the end of the year. I always do a closing ceremony at the end of the year, but I'm just coming out of a course, Thrive, at the moment, so that one's done. But you can always work with me one-to-one, so you can book a clarity call, and there are free resources on my Instagram, so do get all the freebies, babe. That's the best place to start. There's a free self-trust guide, which is Chef's Kiss, so I would recommend that.
I'll be going and finding it. But I'll leave all of your notes and stuff down in the show notes. So if you want to find anything, then it'll all be there. And we'll have all your Instagram links and everything. So if people want to find you, they can. But thank you so much for coming on. It's been so nice.
Thank you so much, my darling. Amazing. Yay. Have a good day.
I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Are you loving this podcast and recommending it to everyone you know? Well, make sure to do the same online too. By leaving a little rating and review on various different platforms, you're helping other people to also come across this podcast by allowing it to be ranked a little bit higher on all the different podcast platforms. And I'd be super, super grateful if you could let me know what you think and spread the word so that everyone else can also find a little bit of the magic in their life. And we can help every single woman out there to live their best life and just thrive, baby.